People, take Uber to work. They DoorDash their lunch. They don't want to deal with systems that don't deliver that same kind of experience, in the workplace. And so helping companies evolve is another key piece of what we do.
My guest this week is Ben Wiener. Ben, welcome to the podcast, and thank you so much for joining. Before we jump into our questions today, can you just tell everybody what your role is, what you do here at Cognizant?
Sure. I'm Ben Wiener, and I am the global head of Cognizant Moment. And we'll be talking more about exactly what Cognizant Moment is, but you can think of it as the part of Cognizant that really partners with business, with marketers, with our clients to help them drive their growth, find new revenue streams, attract new customers, make their existing customers more loyal, and all of those wonderful things that create revenue.
So that sounds very exciting and very of the moment. And I wonder if you could dive in a little bit more and just explain maybe some of how you do some of the things you just talked about. And I wonder if this is a helpful or fun metaphor. You know, if Cognizant Moment was a tasting menu at a Michelin restaurant, what dishes would we find on the table? You know, what's the mixture of ways that you interact and engage to do the things you talked about?
So I think growth is a multi-course meal. and so, what we start with, what amuses the palate, as it were, I think is, generally a preliminary conversation around business transformation. How do we take clients and support their journey as they think about how they can reimagine how they operate to generate new growth? How do they find meaningful differentiation? How are they thinking about economic value? How is technology unlocking all sorts of new business models and opportunities? So that's how the meal, I think, starts.
Yeah.
And then depending on the preferences of a client and their tastes, the following courses really support their growth in a few different major areas. One is marketing and content. How do we take a data-driven approach and an AI-powered approach to automation that drives hyper-personalized marketing, hyper-personalized content, so that we're putting the most relevant messages in front of people at the right time?
Okay.
The other, thing that we offer is commerce. And, commerce is a layer that sits on top of everything. It's not,
It's the wine pairing.
Yes, I suppose that's, yes. because, we've evolved so far beyond the days of e-commerce and physical commerce. Now we buy in store, we buy online, we buy on our phones, we buy through shoppable video, we buy through live social experiences. There's a layer of transaction that sits pretty much adjacent to any communication, and we help clients think through what their commerce strategy should be, and then obviously figure out which technologies need to come into play to support that. The meat and potatoes of what we do, the steak, the filet, are digital products and platforms. We build websites, we build apps, we build portals, all of those things that can create a differentiated experience and preference for our clients, whether it's a better experience checking in for your flight on an airline, whether it's a more seamless engagement with your bank resolving a customer service issue, whether it's finding a simpler way to order products, that's all built into the apps and the websites that we build. And then there's some fun stuff that we do that's also like dessert. We have tremendous breadth of experience in creating custom learning solutions. So not just the technology platforms, but the content itself. We also have a very big practice in modern workplace. And how do we take all of those great experiences that people expect as consumers and give them to them as employees? People, take Uber to work. They DoorDash their lunch. They don't want to deal with systems that don't deliver that same kind of experience, in the workplace. And so helping companies evolve is another key piece of what we do.
Where I have kind of a two part. So that's really helpful. And I like the way you kind of walked through that. And I'm I have two kind of follow up questions. One, you know, presumably AI is sort of at the heart of a lot of the things that you're talking about. And I'm curious about two pieces. One, where are most of our clients on that journey, right? You know, some people might be at the point where they're looking for the ideas. They don't know how to leverage it yet. I assume others are saying kind of where you ended up, like, hey, Uber does this. We want to do this in our healthcare entity, right? And they already have the idea. Maybe they have some of the technology in place. Maybe they don't. I'm curious where you see most customers on that journey. And then I'm also wondering, maybe you could share a couple of your favorite use cases that you can share of what people are asking us to tackle.
Okay. It's a multi-part question.
Yes.
So maybe the wine pairing is actually, it's two wines. One is AI and the other is design. Because all of those things I just described, you know, it's not like AI only sits in content or AI only sits in learning. We need to be thinking about how Gen AI applies across everything that we do, both in terms of our internal workflows and work processes, as well as how we use them to create value for clients. I'd say most, you know, every client is asking questions about AI. Every client's board, you know, is, you know, asking questions about AI. Early day, like 6 months ago, the response was to get pilots into place. And now we live in a world of a zillion AI pilots, but we really haven't seen that leap yet to true enterprise transformation powered by Gen AI. And there are lots of complicating things, you know, in the regulatory space and the copyright space and all of that that still need to be resolved somewhat. But to me, that's the opportunity, is not just to have these very, very specific use cases, but to build truly AI-enabled enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we can do that, you know, one of the coolest things that I've seen recently is something that we brought to Google, which was using Gen AI to create marketing campaigns end to end. You as a marketer at Google can go into this tool that we built called Genie. You can tell it what product you want to market. You can tell it how many different personas you want it to market to. It pulls all sorts of amazing information from Google's data platforms and suggests a target audience. It suggests the best way to reach that target audience. It automatically generates content for that target audience. It evaluates the content based on how well it will perform against Google's algorithms. And it will make predictions about, you know, the ROI on that content and track all the leads. So it takes all of the functions of an agency and what used to take a dozen people in 2 weeks and can be done by one person in a matter of minutes. And mm-hmm. that is, you know, going to change, you know, marketing pretty profoundly once we get better at this and once we figure out how it can be best adopted.
So that's you're providing a great lead into my next question, because presumably to build something like that, Cognizant Moment needs folks who have a marketing background to even be able to think about the business requirements and the, you know, the user journey and the flow of how something like this works. So I'm wondering, can you reflect a little bit on the talent model and why? I'm guessing it probably looks a little bit different than the rest of Cognizant.
We sell to sometimes the exact same audience as the rest of Cognizant and sometimes a new and different audience. There's not a lot of core Cognizant work that gets done inside the marketing organization sometimes, or even the business organization. And that's where our, you know, that's where we create the most value. So, you know, we have people inside Cognizant Moment who, for better or worse, don't come from engineering backgrounds. They yeah. generally come out of marketing backgrounds or design backgrounds or business backgrounds. And they found their way to technology. And so when we combine that with the core technology skills of Cognizant, it's a pretty unbeatable combination. Because if you look at what frustrates clients, it's when they get shown ideas that can't be built or they get technology that doesn't deliver because the experience hasn't been thought through. And we can give them the best of both worlds. We don't show that, you know, we understand their technology, their infrastructure, their limitations, so that we can work within, you know, a realm of the possible. But we also understand that it doesn't matter how much you spend rationalizing technology platforms and migrating to the cloud and all of that. If people don't feel a difference when they log in, when they touch the product, when they use it, they don't understand what you spent your money on. So what we do also really showcases the value of, you know, the part of the iceberg that's under the water, where so much of Cognizant's really important work gets done.
You know, I keep hearing and reading that in the world of AI, there's going to be an increased need for liberal arts majors, where in the past it has seemed like most things that happen in technology are purely in the STEM world. Do you think that's true? Is it going to be STEAM versus STEM?
I've always been a believer that the liberal arts and the critical thinking skills and the interdisciplinary nature of the liberal arts always has relevance in terms of how you approach a problem. And yeah, you know, I think part of the strength of Cognizant Moment is our horizontality, that we can bring expertise in banking or in life sciences, but we can also look at what the similarities are across industries that may not on the surface appear to be similar, and bring that thinking across. So, you know, what a drug company is doing to educate its field force around new product in a more efficient way, you know, actually might have some applicability to how we launch a new car model inside of car dealerships. But, you know, and so making those connections is kind of a liberal artsy thing to do.
Yeah.
If you think about prompt engineering and how to have conversations with AI, once again, I wouldn't say it's Socratic. You know, it's not, you know.
It's exactly where my mind went when you started going down that path.
But maybe that's evolving there. You know, that it'll be like, dialogues, you know, with the language models informed by Plato. So you need somebody who's read Plato.
Yeah. I love it. All right. I want to go back to technology for a minute. And, you know, I'm wondering, is there a philosophy around how do you decide, you know, which parts of the Cognizant ecosystem, whether it's technology, whether it's one of our platforms, whether it's one of our partners, because obviously we've got, you know, so much that we can bring to bear to solve any sort of client problem. How do you figure out what's the right mix in this sort of new world of solving these types of problems that haven't really been solved before, and bringing together sort of the best of what Cognizant's ecosystem has?
So differentiation as a service business is really, really hard. And the only thing that Cognizant Moment going for it really that's unique is Cognizant. So how we build on the strengths of Cognizant and its platforms and its technology investments and its IP and its expertise is critical.
Yeah.
And so it's really complementary. And I like to think that we cut across all of the service lines. You know, we're really kind of technology agnostic. You know, there are some things that we do. There are lots of things that we don't do. Our job is to orchestrate and help clients navigate the complexity of the technology landscape, which we can do because of the expertise in Cognizant. You know, many of the buyers in the realm of business, in the realm of marketing, they don't know what they want. They know that they want a new customer. They want a more valuable customer. They know they want a new revenue stream. They know they want growth. They don't necessarily know that they want this technology transformation or this upgrade or this replatforming. And so we have conversations at that level, and then we can connect those conversations to the breadth of solutions that live within Cognizant and ensure that clients are going to get the full value of their technology investment. If you look at what's happened, you know, particularly since COVID, there was a massive amount of financial investment made in all sorts of customer experience platforms, commerce platforms, direct-to-consumer initiatives, you name it. And the ROI hasn't been there for clients. And so helping them get the value from the technology they've already invested in is a critical role moment can play as well.
I'm curious, who do you see? Because I can make an assumption, but it may be a bad one as things are changing so rapidly. Which industries are you seeing as being the leaders and who are the laggards as it relates to thinking this way?
So, you know, retail, consumer goods, you know, those were forced into reinvention, you know, by the pandemic, you know, all consumer goods companies are struggling with the lack of first party data and how do they stay close to their customers when there's a retailer or an Amazon in between. Yeah. You've got industries like banking, where, you know, how do you differentiate? How do you continuously provide an ever more seamless customer experience while still living within all of the regulatory frameworks that you need to abide by? And then what do you do with this massive retail branch network that you have that can't go away, but doesn't do, you don't need it to cash checks anymore. So how do you rethink your digital plus physical ecosystem? You know, that's true for a lot of different industries.
Yeah.
Everybody's looking to do more with less. So how anybody that's got a sales associate, and that could be who's selling you clothes at Macy's or somebody who's selling you a Volkswagen at a Volkswagen dealership. How you build tools that best support all of those people with data that allows them to truly know who they're talking to as a customer, to bring that level of personalization that people have in a digital experience, you know, into, once again, into a physical experience. You know, that's another thing that lots of people are grappling with as we, as customers, have this expectation that we're going to be known wherever we are.
Where do you hope to see Cognizant Moment a year from now?
First of all, I hope more and more people at Cognizant know that we exist. Let's start with a baseline. Yeah, this is a very large company.
On Maslow's hierarchy of needs, first you just need awareness.
Or even like the purchase funnel, right? Yeah, we need baseline awareness. Within Cognizant. There have been, the digital experience organization has had different lives and different iterations, and has had lots of change over the last few years. So the fact that we've established Cognizant Moment, that we can define what it is, that it holds all customer experience, all design, all marketing, all commerce, all content, regardless of platforms, hopefully makes it easier for people to grasp what we do and when to bring us in. And then we have work to do with our clients to persuade them that, you know, they love people love Cognizant. They love working with Cognizant. If you look at the depth and the length of the relationships Cognizant has built, we deliver. We have great goodwill, but we have great goodwill as a partner to the technology organization, to providing great people, to, you know, really taking a client-centric view of service. People don't necessarily think of us as the folks to drive their digital transformation agenda or their design agenda, or to provide them with the proactive thinking that's going to drive their top line, not just deliver savings to their bottom line. So we have a lot of work to do to earn permission to do different things and more things for clients, and to take the passion and enthusiasm of our clients and get them to introduce us more broadly inside their organizations. And if I look at overall penetration of, you know, digital experience services, of Cognizant Moment services inside the Cognizant client base, there is lots and lots and lots of room. There are so many clients where we're not doing this kind of work at all. And if we could double that in the next year, that would be fantastic.
Well, that's a great lead into my last question. Who is your dream client? And what would you want to help them with in terms of creating better moments with their customers? And it doesn't matter if it's an existing Cognizant client or not. You know, whereas you look out across the landscape, what do you see that's just ripe for this reinvention?
Cognizant, you know, pretty much works with every large enterprise, you know, in the world. So, and that's, you know, the beauty of this opportunity is that you're not on the outside banging at the door. You're inside, and you need to sort of just find your way to the right people and the right opportunity. There are lots of places where you see consumer frustration, you know, where there's still huge opportunity. People still don't understand their explanations of benefits from their insurers. You know, people still want a better way to, you know, communicate and understand and take control of healthcare and healthcare communications.
Yeah.
The experience of, you know, banking can always be made more seamless. Overall, there's a huge opportunity for us to think about what the next generation of interactions with any and all technology looks like. If you think about digital experience over the last 20 years, the fundamental unit of like the atomic unit of digital experience has been the wireframe. Now, what am I looking at? Where do I click? What's there? How does that change in a world where interfaces become, you know, conversational?
Conversational.
Where they become
UI, yeah.
Gestural, where you know, things are living in a, you know, AR, XR, MR environment. So to me, that's the huge transformational opportunity, is how Gen AI is going to change the way all of these experiences are delivered. And so that makes thinking through the user journey, the needs, the points of friction really, really critical. There's always going to be design, because design is about empathy. Design is about understanding where the unmet needs are. But it's going to be less and less about screens. And I think that's quite exciting for all of us.
Thank you so much for your time today.
It was my pleasure, and I hope I can come back at some point and report on all of the amazing things that we've done and built in one.
Thank you so much, Ben.